Report, readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast from Pewter Report. I am Mark Cook, along with Mr. Seminole himself. Chief Osceola.
Don't call me that.
Mr. Warchant.
It's bad enough that I have to wear this hat and
boom,
hear this
boom,
music.
Boom, 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 boom. Mr. Trevor Sycama. How
Hello.
Are you doing, Trevor?
I'd be doing better if I wasn't wearing this hat.
That's a beautiful sight. You really look good in those colors.
I mean, Sycama sounds like it could be a tribe name as
Yes, he's in fact, I've met some of at the Seminole Hard Rock Casino. I've met a couple Sycamas over there. Chief Sycama.
No, those are just my people I have who run
Sycama.
The roulette table.
Oh.
They're okay. They're just under my name.
Okay.
I'm going over there on Thursday night, gonna hit up the old what the hell is it called? The steakhouse over there.
Oh,
Have
Council Oak.
Yes.
Amazing.
We got to introduce the third voice.
I'm going to.
Okay.
Calm down,
All
Chief,
right.
Chief Osceola. Don't.
I like the mystery. I like people listening. Maybe we'll just say it at the end. Like, oh, that was this guy.
Well,
we'll let people listen the whole show and see if they can figure out, like, who is this schmuck.
Well, in case you don't recognize that voice, that is Lee DeKemper.
Yes.
No, that's not Lee. It's our other good buddy, the man himself. Host on 620 WDAE, a partner with Pewter Report,
our good friend. A man of many cars.
With many cars, who gets a new car every month from his sponsors at Moss Nissan.
Not necessarily every month, but I do like the free plug for Moss Nissan. I know they'll appreciate that.
I actually follow him on Instagram because of you, Pat.
Nice.
So anyway, one of these days I'll be able to afford a new car at Moss Nissan.
Currently in the black Maxima with tan and black on the inside. Now I'm taking this too far.
And he rolls up playing the Fugees or whatever they are. Who was it the other day? Tribe Called Quest? I don't remember.
Probably. I think you're probably thinking of the Roots.
Oh, yeah, the Roots.
I had on one.
Yeah.
Afternoon.
And it was one of those 90s bands that
lots
I haven't
of 90s
heard of.
Hip-hop and like grunge rock is kind of my thing.
Yeah.
Because the reason I'm going to Council Oak on Thursday night, by the way, I'm a man.
You're turning 21?
40 this year.
Holy
yeah, I wish.
Cow.
I wish. 40 on Thursday.
Well, happy early birthday to our good buddy Pat Donovan. Pat, appreciate you joining us today. Scott Reynolds is still on sabbatical. He's still high from the Kansas State come-from-behind win over Iowa State. Bill Snyder's last home game in Manhattan. So he's
every time you say Manhattan, I think of New York.
I know.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Let me
about?
Tell you something. I've never been to Kansas. I've never been to New York. But I'm just going to go out on a limb and say.
Wait, you've never been to New York?
No.
The state at all?
No.
You've never been to the state? Not just
now,
the state?
You've been to Jersey, obviously, never, to go to Giant Stadium.
I've never been north
life.
Of Valdosta, Georgia, people.
Really?
Yeah, I'm kidding about that. But
I
no, I haven't been
traveled
in New York.
To the road games
I was
a lot,
north of
you?
Valdosta, Georgia this week.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. You were in Valdosta this morning driving through.
So you've never been to MetLife or Giant Stadium?
No.
Wow. All right.
No, that is one of those what do you call them, bucket list things. I got Hawaii and New York City on those lists.
Hopefully they
I haven't
move
been
the Pro
to
Bowl.
MetLife. I've been to Giant Stadium.
Oh, okay, that's
but
right.
When you talk bucket list, for me, when it comes to football, it's Lambeau.
All right, we're avoiding things. We're avoiding the inevitable. Are we not?
What are we avoiding? We're going to break down the Seminoles' fifth straight victory over the Gators.
I'm not
in
doing
detail.
That. I'm not doing that.
You were in
attendance? I was there. I watched it.
You
I don't want to relive
it. Burn the film?
Yes, 100%. Got to burn the film. New head coach, got to burn the film.
Speaking that's of burning the film.
Should we ask him about Mullins?
I already kind of did earlier, and I tell you, he had such a man love fest going on for Chip Kelly this week. When Chip signed with UCLA, I didn't even tweet him or text him because I knew
he probably
would have jumped off the top of Ben Hill Griffin Stadium.
Now, as a guy who wanted Chip Kelly for his college coach,
yeah,
how did you look at him as an NFL coach? Because I always thought, and I've always said, and I've had an NFL offensive lineman disagree with me, so how the hell do I know? But I've always said that will not work in the NFL.
Well, Bucks fans purposely reminded me that now both of the teams that I've been close to have, quote-unquote, almost had Chip Kelly, and then it just didn't happen.
That's true. Something about Chip Kelly and Florida,
Florida so,
teams.
No, I mean, like, I think he's a really good college coach. I think he's going to be good in UCLA. In the NFL, Chip Kelly's real weird because he's the kind of guy who, like, truly has to be a dictator. Like, every little bit of the team, the organization, the roster, the budget, whatever it is, Chip Kelly has to control. That's why he didn't go to Florida. That's why he had some not-so-good things in the NFL. I mean, he did well in his first year with the Eagles, and then all of a sudden he just started getting rid of these players because he was
beat
too controlling.
Beat the Buccaneers in his first
you know?
Year.
You can't.
It's been 5 minutes, and you idiots haven't talked about the Buccaneers
That's
yet.
That's true. We haven't.
Sorry, Uncle
what
Stan.
Do you want to talk about?
You can't convince me just really quickly that NFL offensive linemen can run that scheme all season long.
It's
rare.
Better
in week 17
it's
than they
rare.
Were in
week
17.
Well, and the stress it puts on your defense as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you can run that and hurry up, that's great. But if you go three and out, now your defense is back on the field, you know, within a minute of just coming off the field. And maybe they just gave up an 80-yard drive. I mean, so it's putting a lot of...
Which we did see from the Bucs on Sunday, by the way.
Well, I tell you what. Sunday, and again, we're going to go
here
back
to burn
the film.
Here are the 253 reasons why Julio Jones is great.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a shame that Mike Smith didn't have any familiarity with this young rookie receiver finally showed up on the NFL scene for the very first time yesterday.
I'm not saying you had to put Grimes on him every snap.
But you had to put Grimes on him every snap.
But did you believe for a second that Ryan Smith was going to cover this?
Yeah.
I mean, the play when Ryan Smith fell down, I just went, I was waiting for that.
The three plays that he fell down. It was three instances where he slipped in that game, and I don't understand. After you slip the first time, you change cleats, dude. And
there was one for me that looked like flat out like NBA broken ankles, though.
Well, and Julio has been known to do that. But again, why not put the wily veteran on that guy?
The Bucs just don't play that kind of defense. And again, that's a Mike Smith thing. We heard this morning the quote from Dirk Cutter was, "We had 14 different kinds of coverages," is what he said, for the Falcons.
And none of them worked.
Okay, well...
some of them worked, or he would have had 350 yards receiving.
Hold on. The follow-up question was, hey, do you ever think, we know that you split your corners into the left side and the right side. Do you ever think about just saying, hey, Brent Grimes, you're going to guard Julio Jones? And he's like, yeah, that could have been an option. It's not something we did. So they ran 14 different kinds of coverages. Didn't want to run that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if something's not working, I'm just blown away by – and listen, I did the most impressive and disappointing list yesterday. And for disappointing, I literally –
Did
there
you
were
do
plenty,
extra on the disappointing list the, because the impressive list was so short?
Yes, yes. Well, in actuality, I didn't put a single player on the most disappointing. I could have. Plenty of guys. I just put offensive coaching staff and defensive coaching staff and specifically talked about what it was that was so frustrating in that game. Now, the one mystery that I had that I was just – couldn't believe yesterday – fourth quarter, 7.5 minutes left, 3rd and 2. You get an 8-yard run. You're running a 1-yard route, essentially, with Adam Humphries to try and pick that up. Now, I asked Dirk about that specifically in the press conference. Dirk's not going to throw Adam under the bus, but you should. The guy is a 3-year veteran of the NFL. You've got to know where the sticks are in that situation. And Dirk did agree. He could have got a little bit deeper. No. That Dirk's just being nice. He has to. Yeah. You have to be aware. Situational awareness.
Yeah.
Still didn't love the design of the play. Trevor and I were actually looking at the play on the NFL All Access before Dirk's press conference. And, you know, the design of the play wasn't terrible, except they bring Cameron Brait from the right side, drag him across the middle, basically essentially bringing two linebackers
defensive backs
towards Humphries in that situation. If they run Brait vertical, even 10 yards, squaring anything, you know what I mean, then Humphries can get that extra depth. But there wasn't a lot of room because if you go back and watch the film, you're right. You're jamming up that
and
whole side there.
They're bunch formation anyways. They have the three wide receivers.
Right.
So if you run any route close to another kind of route, they're just going to get engulfed and you can't even throw the
ball.
But
Dirk incriminated himself. He says, we got an 8-yard run on the first play with Jacquez Rodgers, and they tried to hit the home run to Deshaun, which I don't like. Second and 2, that's perfect.
Yeah, no, 2nd and 2, you going for the home run ball? That's when you go for the home run ball. That's totally fine.
Sure.
But then the next two plays, here's what they have to do. You have
pick up 2 yards.
You have three tight ends that you really like. One of them can play fullback. Okay, and here's another thing. We were asked, Luke Stocker had been playing most of the year as the third tight end. He's been playing that kind of like fullback,
slash hybrid
tight H-back, end.
Sure.
Right? Okay.
What he's been doing.
So they scratch him 2 weeks ago for Anthony Auclair. Okay, I get it. You know, Stocker's getting up there in age. You've had him on the team for a while. You drafted Auclair for a reason. You like him. You're getting him the playing time. Okay, that's fine. But then afterwards,
I completely disagree with that. By the way,
they were at like he.
There's a reason he was an undrafted free agent.
Well, he was asked, "What do you think of Auclair?" And Auclair said, "Well, he's learning. That's all I'll say."
Yeah,
okay,
that's what Crutter said
you
about
are
Auclair.
In a must-win swing game,
right?
And you don't put Luke Stocker in.
You don't have time for experiments.
Come on,
there's not the point in the season where you experiment and you try and develop guys.
You can't do that. And then, like, bring Jameis Winston back.
Right.
You know, like, these things don't make sense. You don't give the rookie playing time doing this and then all of a sudden, like, bring your quarterback back from being healthy because you want to win games. Which one is it?
Yeah.
Are you putting the best players in or are you tanking letting the young guys play?
Yeah.
Pick.
I've been begging for more short yardage stuff, for more screen plays, for more of the kind of stuff we saw on third down to Adam Humphries. Just not on third down.
Sure.
On third down, just throw it past the sticks. Well, if you need two, give me three. And
you know, if it's third and 12 or more on this offense, they're going to try and run some sort of screen, whether it be a bubble screen to a receiver, or they're going to try and – they tried to get the ball in Charles Sims' hand and Jaquez Rogers a couple times yesterday on third and 18s and things like that. You know, I know those are kind of give-up downs, but – look, I mean, what's worse?
Then you throw it 15 yards downfield on fourth down.
Oh, fourth and one. Yeah, it's just I don't understand the whole rhythm of the play calling at times. But, again, we can blame Dirk all you want. They did score 20 points. They converted 28 first downs. There was some, you know, he got in a decent rhythm with his play calling, bogged down in the red zone again. But the thing that, you know, the defense giving up 516 yards, it's just inexcusable.
And
I mean,
they
it's just
confused,
inexcusable.
Too. There was a lot of guys that looked confused at times. And I think we were told earlier this year, I don't know whether it was from
Wait. Maybe running 14 coverages. Maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe run four and get good at them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Look, I am, you know, It's the old Chipotle versus Moe's theory, okay? Chipotle does
Moe's all the way.
Hold on. I think I'm the expert here.
Yeah, that's true. We gotta
Qdoba
go.
Gets no love in the conversation.
I don't mind Qdoba.
I'm a cool. fan of Qdoba.
I'm cool with Qdoba.
They got the pickled jalapenos. Those things are freaking delicious.
You guys, there is nothing wrong with a good old fashioned Nacho Bel Grande. Sub the meat for extra beans, extra sour cream. That goes off.
What are you talking about? Sub the meat, like no meat?
Yeah, I go no meat. I go double beans.
Am I supposed to respect your
Dutch ovens? Or if I do, I don't like the ground beef. You know why? Because two Christmas breaks
Qdoba has
in
steak,
a row
by the way.
In high school in 1987. The only meat I see in 1988, I worked at Taco Bell, and my job was to cook the 20-pound pounds of ground beef. So I don't like Taco Bell ground beef because I can still smell the seasoning in my head. But I will sub the ground
beef
sometimes
for steak.
Remind
me to tell you my Wendy's chili story, by the way.
They use all the hamburgers that didn't get used the day before for the meat and the chili, don't
actually,
they?
Actually, when I worked there, I didn't necessarily see that. But what I did see was, oh, this guy asked for no mustard. Cool, stick it in the chili. Hey, I burnt this one in the chili. This one fell on the floor in the chili. Like, everything that got messed up ended up in the chili.
At least at the one I worked at. We don't know this to be true. Wendy's, we would love to have you as a sponsor.
At the one
on the
I worked
Nation
at.
Podcast.
I eat a lot of Wendy's.
Look,
I
man,
do stay away from the chili.
If somebody throws mustard in my chili, it's chili. I don't really care.
I add ketchup to my chili.
Yeah, I don't
it
do that. Anyways, okay, getting back to where we originally started this food argument. The Chipotle versus Moe's theory. Chipotle does five things really well. Most has like 30 options. You want to go for that? Fine. I'm more of a give me five things, do it really, really well. There you go.
Do
same
like a good home
defense.
Wrecker.
Do they serve kangaroo meat? I'm just kidding. That was a rumor when I was a kid growing up that Taco Bell used kangaroo meat.
If they do, it's not bad.
But why I was going to say, if it's delicious, is it okay if I don't care?
But this is the dumb thing. And my son, when he was in elementary school, said the same thing. They use kangaroo meat. I'm like, why would you think that it would be cheaper to raise kangaroos than beef cattle, which is the most domestically farmed thing in the entire world?
Right.
But yet you're going to – that doesn't make sense, son. So anyway, all right, no kangaroo meat for me.
So, yeah. No.
Plus, kangaroos are jerks, by
now,
the way.
Now, panda meat is good. It's just, it just tastes just like chicken.
I've never had – okay.
You never had condor either?
Might get
I don't believe that, by the way, because I've had
dodo bird?
Other bear, and bear is not good, typically.
No, it's better than raccoon, I guarantee you that.
Probably.
That's the Polk County in you right there?
That's the Eastern Hillsboro, son. I ain't Polk County quite yet.
Okay, all right.
I can throw a rock across the county line, but I'm still Hillsboro.
So, I mean, it just doesn't the defense, I get. We were told, I guess, during the middle of the year that last year things were more simple. They kept it more simple. That's what was the catalyst for their win streak.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year, this like second step for Mike Smith's defense was supposed to be a little bit more complicated. They're supposed to be better with communication. And there are different like calls and things that you might be able to do. But like all I see are deficiencies. All I see are failures.
I agree. And I tried to ask Dirk that, you know, when he talked about, you know, I asked him, I said, well, you know, was it you lost the chess match part of things? And I don't think I got my question out right because he's like, hey, duh, it's chess match every game. I understand that. The offense makes a play. The defense makes a play. What I was trying to ask, and I didn't articulate very well, was, so was it the players screwing up more, or was it them just beating you guys at the chess match up in the booth? That's the question I kind of had.
What if it's neither?
What else could
it
be?
Is it possible that
it's either the players suck or the coaches suck?
Well, again, the player screwing up and the player sucking, to me at least, are two different things, right? There's not knowing your job, there's being out of place, and then there's just getting beat. And these guys are just getting beat over and over and over again. And yes, there are times when they're out of place.
Right.
But I think sometimes, like, eventually, look, Mike Smith, in my opinion, is a really good football coach. And eventually,
I think so too.
Eventually, if you can't rush the passer and you can't cover.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen Bill Belichick look like he doesn't know what he's doing.
Is it the chicken or the egg? And that's the debate. I mean, is it the pass rush? Is it the coverage? Is it the coverage?
I understand that the defense is the, and I've said this before, defense is the reactionary side of things. Like, the offense does something, and then the defense responds. That's just how football works. But too often, I think the Bucs are forced to play someone else's game. Like, think about it. When you're going into Seattle, you're not – like, you are playing Seattle's game, I feel. Same thing with Denver back when they were, you know, kind of making their Super Bowl runs and they were really good before.
And they had a quarterback.
That's what you're doing. You're dictating how the game goes. And I just don't think – I think just the Bucs defense for so long just has played into other teams' offenses' hands.
Forget about defensively, though, for a second. Offensively or defensively, if you said, hey, the Bucs are going to play their game today, they're going to dictate this game. What do they do?
What is their game? What is their identity on either side of the ball?
Even if they were that much better than someone else, what do they do?
That's a problem.
What do they dictate? Because it seems like they don't have a consistent game plan.
They react offensively and defensively. And try and you know, counterpunch everything. They don't what was the biggest win they had this year? The biggest offensive explosion. The Bears game.
Yeah.
And that was a game that they, you know, imposed their will early on, and things got rolling. Things went their way. First half of the Miami game, maybe so, but it wasn't a complete game. And Scott brought that up a long time ago, earlier in the season. We don't know what the identity of this football team is, and that was after, I don't know, week four or five, and he brought up the point: how do you not know your identity this far into the season? And here we are, double that many games, when he made that observation, and they still don't really have
the only identity they really have is they're mediocre just about everywhere, right? And the sad thing is that leads you back to Dirk Cutter, and everyone's now starting to talk about Gruden or just getting rid of Cutter in general. And I don't know if I'm the only one. I still look at this organization and I say, eventually, if you fire a head coach every 2 years, you're just the organization that fires a head coach every 2 years, and nobody's going to want to coach for you.
Man,
I think they've got to give him another year, as bad as this thing looks now.
I think it depends. I mean, if they end up 4-12, you don't. They've got to be competitive. They were competitive yesterday. Yesterday was a game. There was an opportunity in this game late in the second, early into the third, where this game could have easily got out of hand and turned into a 42-6 game.
Yeah.
I will give the Buccaneers credit and this coaching staff. They were fighting and clawing and scratching till the end. It's kind of like somebody, though, really doesn't know, you know, how to get out of the what are those new things where people go and get locked up and try and escape rooms or whatever.
Oh, I suck at those. I've done it with my wife a couple times. And I'm
claustrophobic. I will never ever do it.
Yeah,
but I mean, you got to be able to settle. You got to calm down.
I mean, the room's bigger than this. You realize that, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if I feel like I'm locked in.
Get out.
Here's the thing.
Not happening.
There's always a button you can push and say, "Let me out." Like, you're not like literally locked in.
That's what they say on elevators too.
Do you not take elevators?
Not unless I absolutely 1,000%.
He does freak out a little bit in elevators.
That's funny.
I will not get an elevator, and this is not an exaggeration, I will not get an elevator without at least 2 Xanax in my wallet. That's a fact.
Just in case.
Just in case. Wow. Because I want to pass out and go to sleep if I get trapped in
one. I'm not going to tell you what I need in my wallet. It won't be Xanax.
Well, live PD will be showing up at your house later tonight, by the way.
Listen, let me tell you something. I live in a neighborhood where when the police show up, I say thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for hanging
out.
Yes,
bring
them
coffee.
You guys need to hang out in the driveway tonight, whatever it is. I'm right across the street from a park. I love the police in my area. They can come by anytime.
All right. Well, the other big news coming out of Dirk's press conference today was the status of Jameis Winston. We've all kind of debated that. Should they shelf Jameis? Should they see what they have in Ryan Griffin? The problem is things are so muddled in the fact we don't know if Dirk Cutter is going to be here next year. We don't know if Jameis is going to be suspended. We think he probably is. I don't see how he gets out of this unscathed. But you've got to be prepared. Ryan Fitzpatrick, chances are, is not going to be back next year. And so what do you do if Jameis Winston is suspended for the first six games next year? And really, you have Ryan Griffin on the roster. You know, at what point do you play this guy? But the way Dirk said today is if Jameis is healthy, if he's ready to go Wednesday, he's back starting and that's it.
I mean, just to touch on the first part about next year, either they're giving Ryan Griffin a shot this year or you're drafting a quarterback, right? I mean, you can't.
Early?
I think you have to draft one early.
It all depends on Jameis.
Only, you know, every blue moon is a six-round draft pick like Tom Brady.
Right.
I mean, the proof is in the pudding. The successful quarterbacks are drafted
early.
Taking
one early, you're almost number 11 from Jameis Winston.
Well, I think by draft time, you know, that'll be, what, April, May, basically. You're almost going to have a good idea what they're going to do with Jameis Winston. I think
40% chance Mike Glennon is back. Jeez. As the backup quarterback next year.
Next year?
Seriously.
Probably
I think
not.
The Bears move on. Well, they can get out of it after this year.
Is it this year? I thought it was. Oh, yeah. You might be right.
Yeah. Yep.
Good Lord.
I mean, I would take Mike.
Just stopped listening to this podcast.
But I would take Mike Glennon over Ryan Griffin because at least we know what Mike Glennon does.
I wouldn't.
We don't know what Ryan Griffin can do. And
if
Jameis is back, you're not going to find out.
What I don't know before the guy that I know. It can't get it done.
Glennon haters. We never saw Mike Glennon with a DeSean Jackson, a Mike Evans, a O.J. Howard, a Cameron Brate.
Throw the ball deep and outside the numbers, and every single time it was 4 yards out of bounds.
But who's he throwing to in Chicago? I mean, you got to admit, that's maybe the worst receiving core.
Megatron.
He had, at one point, when he had Aurelius Ben, he had Mike Williams. Who else did he have as a receiver?
Yeah, the actual. I'm saying the actual Megatron, who could catch passes that were 4 yards out of bounds. Not even Calvin Johnson, like the real Megatron.
Yeah, all right.
See, he's young. He's a millennial. We don't understand what a Megatron is. Is that a dinosaur?
No, hold on. See, now Mark's sounding really old.
Well, I am
because Megatron is a transformer. And that's
know that?
That's our generation.
Did you not know
my
that?
My generation.
My ass, not your generation.
How
you're
was it? There was no there was no Transformers when I was a kid. I'm 47.
I'll be 40 this week.
I'll say this. I stopped playing with toys and cartoons in 1979. You were two. The 80s was the Transformers thing because my brother.
But you knew what they were, I'm sure.
But I didn't know one was called Megatron.
Where do you think Calvin Johnson gets that nickname? You think they just gave it to him?
Well, I don't know. Where do you get man bun from?
Because I have a man bun.
And I gave it to you, but still. I don't know.
Wait, you gave him his man bun like you do his hair?
Yeah, I do sometimes. Right. Me and Francois. By the way, I saw your shout out to Francois. Yeah. He retweeted you.
I like Francois.
I'm sure
he's a
cool
you do. Dude. He's a cool dude. I mean,
you guys only wish you had him in Gainesville.
I 100% wish that DeAndre Francois was in Gainesville.
Yeah, he's the same as Felipe Franks. Come on. They're the same people.
This podcast is digressing.
All right. Well, we're ready to get out of here anyway. Pat, man, we appreciate you joining us.
It was fun, gentlemen.
Pat, you know, I don't know if you're a gambling man. Me and Trevor really aren't gambling man. So we'll throw a little bit down to the Seminole Hard Rock Casino,
I'm
going to
throw like $100 out on Thursday night just because it's my birthday and I'm hoping for some kind of mojo or something.
Well,
I don't know.
All right.
Typically not really.
If you ever wanted to do some online betting, though, PewterPort has a great sponsor for you called MyBookie.ag. You can bet on anything.
Really?
You can bet
football,
on
pro,
anything.
College. NBA,
go-kart racing.
Cricket.
Maybe not go-kart racing.
Isn't
but virtually
that's legal? We can do that here?
Virtually
legally?
Any sport, yes.
Real cash?
Real cash. And not only real cash, like Pat. If you put $100 down and use the promo code Pewter, they'll give you $200.
Get out of here.
Double your initial deposit at mybookie.ag.
So if you put down $1 million.
That's not true. There's limits. Not
they'll give
true.
You $1 million, and then,
no,
and then you can
no.
immediately cash out.
Me and Trevor have
and
already
then
tried
you get
this.
$2 million.
We tried this. No, we robbed a bank, and we tried to deposit $1 million, and they did not match our deposit, and then we were going to immediately withdraw it, but it didn't work that way, so no. But if you do put
Fine
down, you know, if you put $500 in, you're going to have $1,000 to start with. So they
Amen.
Really... give you an opportunity to show what you know as far as gambling goes, prop bets, you know, game bets, over-underlines, parlays, teasers, strippers. I don't know what that has to do with gambling. But anyway, you can do anything you want virtually.
He hasn't spent enough time in strip
world.
Clubs, clearly.
That's true. That's true. When you're 47, those things tend to go away. But anyway, I need some single friends that are going to get married so I can go to a bachelor party again. All my friends are married two or three times. But anyway, you're not allowed a bachelor party your second time around. But anyway, go check out mybookie.ag. Pewter Report listeners, use the promo code Pewter, and they will double your initial deposit. All right, real quick as we close this thing out, Buccaneers travel to Green Bay. Again, looking at the schedule a few weeks ago, you look at Green Bay, you look at Hundley, you think, okay, there's a chance there. You watch last night's game at Pittsburgh, and Green Bay could have easily, should have, some people say, should have won that game. I mean, they played well. Hundley
it's
played
still
well.
It's still the NFL. They're still NFL players. Like, you gotta show up, play every week. So, I mean, if this Bucs team gives up, like we think there's a possibility they do. I don't know if Winston's going to be back or not, but they could easily lose in Green Bay.
I think it would be great to see Winston play. I think he's one of those guys that, you know, appreciates the history of the NFL.
Yeah, right.
His
right.
first opportunity
to
play in Lambeau Field.
Yeah. Talks about it as much as or more than any player I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. So I would love to see it. If only Aaron Rodgers was going to play in that game, which they're saying is a slim chance he could come off.
I don't know
that
I really want to see that at this
I
moment.
I mean, you can activate anyone from IR at any time.
The only problem with that is I've been to Green Bay in November in 1996. I went up there. Maybe it was late October. And I'm not from up north. I don't understand the ground freezing, but it is hard as a rock. You might as well be on AstroTurf when it's, you know, 30 degrees out there. Unless it's rained and then it becomes a muddy bath field.
Then it's fun.
Then it would be kind of interesting. But, you know, you worry about them bringing Aaron Rodgers back too soon, taking a hit on that shoulder. But I worry about that with Jameis
Winston
as well.
Winston too, man.
You know, absolutely. Absolutely.
If he is anything less than absolutely 100%, it is the wrong decision to bring
him back. I can tell you this. If he's anything less than 100%, he and his dad are not going to be having a good conversation because his dad told me he comes back 400%. We're gonna fall out. And I go, no falling out. I'm giving him a hard time. I go, no falling out. He goes, oh, we gonna fall out. You guys know Ant.
Oh yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I think there's a chance this team wins this football game. I'm not ready to say that this team is going to give up. I think there's more character and leadership on this team than that 2011 team that I saw lose 10 in a row, where they clearly went into each game on that 10-game losing streak, knowing they didn't give a damn, and I knew there was no chance the Buccaneers were going to win during that streak, and they didn't even come close during that 10-game losing streak.
I definitely don't see that with this football team. As bad as they've been at times, outside of a handful of plays defensively, I don't think we've seen this team just give up.
No, I agree. I think there's enough leadership on this team that's not going to happen. But we're going to see, as they say.
I don't even know if they gave up on those plays either, or it was just kind of like one of those things where sometimes you just put your hands up and go, what the hell?
Right, right. Well, we'll find out come Sunday, 1 o'clock. Trevor's going to have to start driving Tuesday to get up to Green Bay by Sunday.
Jeez.
Are you going? Have you decided?
Yeah, no, I'm going to Green Bay.
How are you getting there? You're not driving the toaster, are
No,
you?
I'm flying.
I mean, Pat will loan you the Moss Nissan.
This is not true, actually.
The Altima.
Yeah.
No?
No.
And he'll give you a mixed CD of the Roots. I don't even know what the Roots
that part
are.
Might
you don't know who the Roots are?
I think they were on Jimmy Kimmel's band.
All right, just wrap the podcast up.
All right, I'm just trying to stretch it out to 30 minutes, guys.
Listen to the Roots.
All right, well, we're going to stop it at 28 minutes anyway. And we're going to listen to the beautiful sounds of the Seminole Marching
I'm
Band.
I'm not playing Roots.
We're going to put the Roots in there. All right, for our good buddy Pat Donovan, you can hear him on 620 WDAE. Pat, when are you on again?
Saturday, 8 to noon, live from Austin, east of Newport Richey, actually, if you want to come by and say hi.
All right, go by and see Pat. For Trevor Sikkema, a.k.a. Chief Falciola, a.k.a. Jameis Winston Jr., a.k.a. Mr. Seminole himself, a.k.a. Jimbo Fisher Jr., a.k.a. Bobby Bowden, a.k.a. Burt Reynolds, Trevor Sikkema. I am Mark Cook, and we'll see you later in the week with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.